Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Bob Osborne, Associate Administrator for Information Management and Chief Information Officer at the National Nuclear Security Administration. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Barb Hudson. Bob, I have the pleasure of talking to many of my guests about their use of collaboration and partnership among federal agencies and outside with the private sector and nonprofit sector. Would you tell me what you're doing leveraging partnerships to improve IT outcomes? And the other thing I wanted to know is, how can partnerships and collaboration lead to innovation?
Absolutely. And without partnerships, I don't know where we would move the federal government. We rely on our commercial partners. We rely on academia. Each of our national laboratories and most of our plants have enduring relationships with significant academic institutions, universities, colleges, et cetera. But as we move forward, we're trying to create coalitions that allow us to cross-pollinate between these rather one-to-one relationships into more holistic and wide-ranging partnerships. We obviously collaborate quite closely with DOD and DHS and their roles in cybersecurity with the National Security Agency. And part of creating the Cyber Sciences Laboratory, reaching across DOD and DHS with DOE to understand what the requirements of all are, what work is going on at the laboratories for the other agencies today, that's shareable and isn't of specific intelligence concern, and then how do we share that information not only within the Department of Energy but across government as a whole in order to help us secure the nation's infrastructure. We also are reaching out to other collaborative organizations such as the Knowledge Management Laboratory at Transportation Command, where I was last, which is a collaboration of industry and academia that work together on DOD transportation problems, a lot of which are related to cybersecurity. So through that, you create a rather far-reaching web into industry, academia, and government that allow you to share best practices, understand what concerns and challenges are, and I think get the best possible solution going forward. It's all about transparency. It's about partnership. But coming into the end of delivery, it's critical to understand how the impact of whatever it is that you're going to be doing will have on those partners as you go into a sharing environment.
So given the critical role of IT within your mission and the programs that you deliver, how do you see the role of CIO becoming a trusted advisor? And what are some of the characteristics that you believe it'll take for a CIO to be successful in the future?
Yeah, great question. I think we're right now seeing the transformation of what the Clinger-Cohen Act initially was established to identify a key role in getting the control and management of IT investments across an organization is now kind of morphing into a realization that the CIO is really more than that. That function is really now what we refer to as a CTO, the Chief Technical Officer. That's the wires and boxes, making sure the infrastructure works right, all of the security parameters are met, whereas the CIO is really the link between the technologist and the business. So understanding the business is critical for any CIO. Being a part of the strategic leadership team is critical for any high-performing CIO, so that not only can he advise the program leads on how IT can enable what they're trying to do, but he can also tell the technologist, here's what the business needs. Often, technology is introduced for technology's sake, and often that leads to customer dissatisfaction. Or customers have requirements that exceed the capabilities of either the budget or the technology at hand. That was always a throw-it-over-the-fence philosophy in the past. Today's emerging CIO transcends that and bridges that wall, if you will. A key part of the leadership team, an advisor to the CEO or the administrator or secretary, ensuring that the organization can take advantage of all the various and powerful IT capabilities that support business processes today. Our nation runs on information. We believe, rather than the only path to CEO being through the COO or CFO, we believe there's a path now from the CIO to the CEO. Because really to grasp the entirety of how a organization functions and have the most effective outcome of whatever that organization produces, you really have to include information technology today. So the CIO is just as involved in the business as the COO is.
I'd like to take a minute and congratulate you on being a recent recipient of the Federal 100 Award. Given this peer recognition goes to individuals who made a difference in government technology, could you give us a little more information about the award? And in addition, could you tell us what emerging technologies hold the promise for improving IT in the federal sector?
Well, thanks for noticing to begin with. I'm obviously very flattered to be considered for such an award. It's all based on our 2 Envy and our transformation strategy. Our ability at NNSA, first of all, set a vision, devise a strategy, put this team together, and then through the leadership of Tom DiAgostino and Neil Miller to actually drive this to delivery in a year is phenomenal. I give them all the credit for that. The team that's doing this, high-performance folks, I mean, what a great crew we have from our CTO all the way down to the my associate CIOs are the ones who are really doing the heavy lifting. Now I get to be the head cheerleader, right? But the technologies that are driving us forward, number one is mobility. Mm-hmm. It's going to change how we do business. It's going to change how government looks. And there are opportunities out there that I don't think we really are aware of yet and have taken advantage of. Some of your forward-leading companies are going in that direction. Virtual working is fairly common, particularly in technology companies. We believe there are applications for that in the federal government and in other government spaces. But what does that mean? What does a management structure look like in what is traditionally a come to a fixed location, sit at a desk in order to do your work environment, and an entire management and performance metric organization that's designed around sitting in a building somewhere versus total mobility in a device agnostic world enabled through an NNSA network vision type environment. So that's where the challenge lies. I think that's where the future lies for us. And I hope NNSA is going to be leading the charge.
Now, I'd like to stay on the future, Bob. I'd like for you to tell us what you think some of the major opportunities and maybe some challenges you see your organization facing and how you think you'll evolve to meet those challenges.
It's bright. I think the future for technology leading the way in business success and national success for the government is huge. Without properly applying IT, I don't think we're going to see the possible advances that we would otherwise. Virtual working is going to be huge. It's going to change the social fabric. Commuting is going to take on a new role, whether it's only driving a short distance to a hoteling space or working out of home. It's going to be crazy how the impact, when you think about increases in gas prices and what that might be used as a lever to help us get a virtual workforce policy in place that would decrease the reliance upon transportation to get to your work. But that's going to require organizational change. It's going to require different management principles. That's not easy. You know, we talked a little bit earlier about change management. This is huge change management. I mean, you've got folks who are executives today who have gotten to where they are in their career by counting noses and seats. And this is radically different, right? And the younger workforce, they're very accustomed to mobility and being able to work from anywhere, do multiple tasks on the device of their choice that we need to be able to take advantage of. But you have to have the architecture in place to make all that happen. That's the challenge for the federal government. Today, we've really relied upon the agencies and sub-elements of each agency to define their own architectures and put their own solutions in place. That's going to be a barrier to us, but it's an opportunity as well. If we can overcome that, the future's bright.
So, Bob, what advice would you give someone who's considering a career in public service?
I would advise anybody who wants to work for the federal government to come quickly. We need you. You know, this is a great opportunity right now. If you are a technologist and you have an interest in serving your country, you want to be involved in some really cool work. I think we're on the cusp of a major shift in how IT plays in the federal space. Great opportunity for people to get on board and be a part of it. I know one of the things that excites my team and particularly some of the younger folks that we've just brought on board have told me is they never thought that working for the federal government would allow them to be part of a big change, mm-hmm. You know, because you think of the federal government, you think of stagnant, you know, kind of, you know, everything moves at a very slow pace. And here we are sprinting and they love it. Right. So there are great opportunities now that I don't think we saw even 5 years ago. technology is powering that. Mm-hmm. And as this spreads across the government, I'm sure you're hearing from many of your guests similar desires to go to mobility, to go to the cloud. That's what everybody's doing. So it's a grand opportunity right now.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today. This has been very insightful, very informative conversation. But more importantly, Barb and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Well, I really appreciate that. I never feel like I've really had a job. It's always been fun. You know, even when I was a Marine, I always said, you know, that going to work every day wasn't really it wasn't a job. I just enjoyed what I was doing, and I enjoy what I'm doing today. You know, I look forward to coming into work every day, but it's not without concern. I'm deeply concerned about the cybersecurity issue. I think that our efforts in focusing our national attention on cybersecurity, efforts such as the Cyber Sciences Laboratory to get ahead of where the threat is taking us, are going to be critical to our future. So much of our infrastructure relies on information technology today. An event in that area would be really significant to our nation, to our society, and I don't want to see that happen. I think we've got some really smart folks working. I'm not sure they're all harnessed to the same plow. I'd like to see that harness take place. I'd like to see sustained funding toward that effort and us get out in leadership for the world like we should be.
This has been the Business of Government Hour with our guest Bob Osborne, Associate Administrator for Information Management and Chief Information Officer at the U.S. National Nuclear Security Administration. My co-host from IBM has been Barb Hudson. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.